Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's fourth quarter 2014 results conference call. Today we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded, and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a Q&A session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of the management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
All right, thanks everyone, and good morning. Thank you for attending this first call of 2015. We will be reviewing the results of the last quarter of 2014. This time, as usual, we have the agenda in page number three. We will go with a summary of the numbers of the quarter first, then we'll have a review of each business segment and the corresponding outlook. And we will talk a little bit about the fourth quarter and subsequent events. We will end the presentation with a round of Q&A. If we go to page number four, we can see the highlights of the year, of the quarter and the fiscal year. We record revenues of 1.4 billion for the quarter, with a 2.4% increase quarter over quarter, with a total of 5.3 billion for the whole year 2014. Our adjusted EBITDA was $334 million, which is a 7% higher than the last quarter, and the total of the year was $1,272 million. The net income of the year was $113 million, with a 25% increase quarter over quarter, with a total of the year $437 million. Our net financial debt decreased almost 2% to $4.1 billion, and our leverage went down to 3.2 times from 3.8, which was the end of 2013. Now, if we go to page number five, we have more detail about the income statement for the quarter, and we can see there the increase in the revenues of 2.4%, which is mainly explained by higher pulp sales volume coming from our Montes del Plata pulp mill. It's the same conclusion as looking at the cost of sales, which is we have an increase of 5%, which is explained in part of the increase in sales volume from the pulp coming from our new mill in Uruguay. If we look at by concept, we have an increase in raw material and indirect cost and depreciation, and partially offset by lower cost in wood and forestry services. We have also an increase in about 60 million in other operating income, and part of that is explained by a sale of non-core forestry assets that we did at the end of the quarter, which we'll talk about a little bit later. The other things like financial cost went down about 8%, and we have also a decrease in the losses for exchange rate differences. We have an increase in income tax, which is basically explained by higher results and also by higher results before income. In terms of the sales by business segment, during the quarter, pulp was 45%, panels 33%, sawn timber 18%, and forestry 3%. This percentage has been more or less stable during the whole year. If we flip to page number six, we have a detail of the adjusted EBITDA, which was 334. It increased 7%, driven by a higher adjusted EBITDA from our pulp and forestry division. And here we have the detail of the 46 million gain obtained by the sales of the forestry assets which are 11,000 hectares that we sold in at the end of 2014. In terms of historical adjusted EBITDA numbers, we can see that the year for 2014 was a year with rather stable adjusted EBITDA, over 300 million, and which are on average high compared with the last 2 years. Our EBITDA margin was 24.2% at the end in the last quarter of the year. Page number 7, our financial review. The debt, as I already told, our net financial debt is $4.1 billion at the end of the year, which is made from $5 billion of gross debt and about $1 billion of cash balances at the end of the year. Our leverage improved from 3.8 to 3.2 during the year, and we will continue our deleveraging efforts during 2015. Regarding our amortization, so our main amortization for this 2015 is the payment of $370 million of a Yankee bond that is due on April, and then we have about $300 million in bank debt spread over Chile, Brazil, Uruguay, and the United States. That includes also accrued interest. The rest of the years look well-balanced and reflects our strategy of financing our long-term assets with long-term liabilities. If we flip to page 8, we have more detail about the cash flow of the quarter. And we can see there that collection from accounts receivable went a little bit down, about 4%. Payments to suppliers went up to 8.3%. Also, we have a payment of dividends in this quarter, provisory dividends, which are an advance for the dividends that we will pay for the full year in May 2015. We should have about $80 to $90 million probably to pay in May, depending on the final calculation of the liquid results. We also had debt payments during the last quarter. We paid a pre-export finance loan of $100 million. Right now, we don't have any outstanding pre-export financing. The payments of interest also went down quarter by quarter, and this is basically due to that we have most of the third quarters we have more interest payment because of bonds that are pay interest on the third quarter. And also we have the money coming from the sale of the forest, which were $91 million that we received at the end of the year. So during the whole year we had a free cash flow of about $200 million in 2014. That's why together with the increase in the EBITDA, we saw a decrease in the leverage of the company to 3.2 times. Now, if we go to page 10, we can start looking at the reviews by segment. We start, as usual, with the pulp division. Here, our sales in the quarter were $621 million. These are including sales of energy, which is a 10% increase quarter over quarter, basically explained by a 14% increase in volume because of the volume coming from the Montes del Plata pulp mill. Sales price on average went down a little bit, 2.5%. When we compare year over year, the increase is higher, 26%, and this is explained basically by a low volume sales in the last year in the same quarter because of some stoppage in the Nueva Aldea mill at that time. In terms of production, we can see that now we are in an average in 850,000 tons, and the difference is explained by production of about, in total for Montes del Plata, about 260,000 tons in the quarter, which of course we are recognizing here 50% of that. In terms of why prices went down, we saw some increase in prices in short fiber at the end of the quarter, but some decrease in long fiber, basically because of competition from Russian producers that were benefited from almost a 50% devaluation on the Russian ruble. In Europe, we had a similar situation, short fibers increasing a little bit and long fiber decreasing by 2.5%. In terms of the decrease in production in the fourth quarter, we had some annual stoppages in our mills in Chile, which are that volume is a little bit offset by the increasing volume of sales and production of Montes del Plata. If we go to page 11, we can discuss a little bit about the outlook. We have seen a decrease in the gap between fibers, between softwood and hardwood. Here, in terms of index, it's right now at about $130, but if you think about net prices, that gap is about $50 at this time. And why this has happened is we have seen an increase in short fiber. We have had a strong demand in short fiber, even with new volumes coming to the market. One explanation for that is the less availability of paper, printing and writing, that has to be reprocessed to produce tissue. That is due because of less demand and less production of printing and writing. So that has put increased prices of that kind of reclassified paper, and that has demanded more virgin fiber and pushing prices a little bit up in hardwood. Softwood is weaker because of what I already told, and it already continues to happen. The more competitiveness of the Russian producers and also more volume coming from the Ilim mill that started and reached 100% production and added probably 800,000 tons a year. And the Russians need to put the volume in the market, and that has put more competition and decreased prices in softwood. Unbleached pulp is still weak. Prices have gone down significantly from levels of almost similar to softwood, about $700 last year, to levels more close to $600 or even less. And because of intensive competition from rolled pulp from the USA. In terms of inventories, inventories of softwood went up to 31 days and hardwood went a little bit down to 36. We had also the impact at this time, the first quarter of 2015, of the New Year's in the China New Year's, which was a little bit later. And also that was offset a little bit by less shipment from Latin American producers because of some maintenance in some Latin American mills. Go to page 12, and we talk about panels. Our sales of panels was $460 million for the quarter. That is a 6% decrease over the third quarter of 2014 and a 3% decrease over a year ago. And here we have a mix of decrease in prices and volume, 3% in price and 4.5% in volume. In terms of production, production was a little bit less than last quarter, at 1.3 million cubic meters. The decrease in production was a little bit in MDF in the North American market because of a little bit of oversupply and we ran the mills a little bit less of 100% capacity. Overall, 2014 was a good year in North America, and in this time, the particle board was better than MDF in terms of demand, which was the opposite of the year before. In Brazil, we saw a drop in volume in MDF and particle board after the recovery we saw in the third quarter after the World Cup. Prices were stable in terms of local currency, reals, but due to FX, we saw a price drop in U.S. terms. Plywood had an increase in sales with a stable pricing scenario in the export market, and the volume increased as the new Aldea plywood mill in Chile increased its volume and reached 100% capacity. In terms of outlook, in page 13, in line with the previous quarter, particle board remains strong in the USA and Canada, and we continue to increase the sales of melamine. On the other hand, MDF continues to relative oversupply due to lower demand. And plywood sales in North America, we see that as a positive for 2015 with good prices and demand. In Chile, we are improving our margins and product mix, and the sales of our particle board Besto remains at good level. Plywood market continues to develop, and we are positive about the outlook for this year in Chile. In Brazil, sales volumes are in good levels, inventory is normalizing, and we're seeing some initial signs of recovery during the second half of the year. The economy, as you know, in Brazil is not growing too much, but we are a little bit positive about what could happen in the second half of the year. In Argentina, still a lot of uncertainty, but the sales of our products there are stable, although we are producing at a little bit less than capacity because of less demand over there. Mexico's demand has picked up, and we have good expectations, especially with increase of Besto sales in that market. Now, if we move to Sun Timber, page 14. Here we have similar sales quarter over quarter, only a 1% decrease, which is explained by 3% decrease in price and an increase of 2.3% in volume. Sun Timber production has been very stable. You can see the last three quarters at 725, 27, and 29,000 cubic meters. In general, we saw a demand correction, the small decrease in prices due to heavier competition from currencies that have a more devalued currency than Chile. But anyway, it wasn't a lot of decrease, only 3%. We are still seeing good demand from the real estate and construction sectors in the United States, and it showed an improvement during the second half of the year. We continue selling at stable prices over there. And our markets in South Korea, Taiwan, Japan, Australia, China, and Middle East have showed some softening in volume and prices, but we have better forecast for the first quarter and beyond. Page 15, talking about the outlook, we are in general positive about Chile and the rest of South America with good volumes and prices. And also, we have good expectations about Asia and Oceania for the first quarter of 2015. North America is stable and continues to grow steadily and with good price scenario, as you can see in the graph of the housing start index, is picking up. Now it's consistently a little bit over 1 million houses a year, and we expect that to continue as the U.S. economy recovers and shows signs, as we have seen, of low unemployment, low inflation, and good sentiment in consumers, especially. Now, if we talk a little bit about the fourth quarter and subsequent events, page 17, we got the approval for the environmental impact statement for our project of making dissolving pulp at our mill in Valdivia. It was unanimously approved by the Environmental Impact Assessment Service. This project will make the Valdivia mill to produce textile pulp that has better prices. At this moment, price of dissolving is about $900 per ton compared with softwood and hardwood, which are in the neighborhood of $600 per ton. This project will use 100% of the capacity of the mill, and there how we produce 15 megawatts more of energy. The investment will be approximately $185 million and will be spread in the next 2 years. We expect the mill to be producing dissolving pulp in the last quarter of 2016. And we will keep the option of producing paper-grade pulp if prices will ever be low for dissolving compared to paper-grade. We'll be the first company in Chile to produce this kind of pulp. The advantage that we have here is that this mill is capped in this production for pulp at this moment at 550,000 tons, but the equipment can produce more than that. And since when you move from paper grade to dissolving in a normal mill, you sometimes lose about 35% of production. We will lose less than that, and we will produce about 510,000 tons of dissolving, and making it very profitable to to have this investment in this pulp mill. So we are very happy with this approval, and this is a very attractive project for us, and we expect to be producing at the end of 2016 this new pulp, which will provide us with diversification of our product. The end uses of this pulp are basically textile producers, and our markets will be China, Indonesia, and places where these garments are made. Next page, 18. We, as I already told in the explanation of the numbers, we sold nearly 11,000 hectares of land and of plantations and land in Chile. At the end of the quarter, we made an auction with investment funds, forestry funds from different parts of the world. We sold these hectares because they were farther away from our production facilities, and they were not so valuable for us in terms of the value of the forest. It represents only 1% of total plantations of the company. We received $91 million, and we made a profit of $46 million, which is recognized in the net income and also in the EBITDA. The last thing I have is page 19. We also announced an investment of $30 million in an expansion of a particle board in the United States, in South Carolina. We will be investing this amount of money to increase the production about 100,000 cubic meters annually through an increased dryer capacity. And we expect to have this project completed in the fourth quarter of 2016. And this is also our bet in the development of the panel sales in the U.S. All right, so that's what I have in my presentation, and I would like now to open to Q&A, if anyone has any questions.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press *1 on your touch-tone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing *2. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. The first question will come from Lucas Ferreira of J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, Gianfranco. Hi, good morning, everyone. I have two questions. The first one regarding the cost of Monte Plata, what's the expectation for 2016 now that the mill is running at full capacity this year? Also, if you could comment on what is driving the costs at this mill and more or less the expectations for the cost in 2015. And the second question, if you could give us the latest on the MAPA project, we recently got some approvals, environmental licenses. If you could give us some latest updates on this project as well, would be very welcome. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Lucas. First of all, the MDP project, right now at this moment, the production is about 90% of capacity. We are entering this Monday on the program annual stoppage for 10 days, and we expect to get out of that with a 100% capacity, because during the annual stoppage we will produce and read all the problems that we have identified during the ramp up process, which is very 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 clear. I mean, and everything. And regarding cost, we are expecting to produce 1.2 million tons this year. 2015, we expect also cost to go down as production goes up, as we absorb more fixed costs. At this time, we are not disclosing unitary costs for this project, but they are similar to the facilities that we have in Chile in terms of costing, and they will go down through the following years as we start using more of our own forest and less of third-party fiber. As our forest matures, so we will expect the wood cost to go down and have a much better cost in the future. In terms of the MAPA project, you are right. The project is approved environmentally. It was finally rejected. The things that they were asked last year by the Supreme Court. So we have a clean authorization to go with the project, but we haven't decided as administration when to bring it to the board yet. We are analyzing scenarios, the total capex, and when will be a good timing to start construction with this project. We haven't approved yet, and the status quo is basically more or less the same as the last call that we had, and we don't have a definite date to propose, and we don't know if it's going to be approved this year or not at this time, the project, because, as you know, it's a lot of money. It's about $2.5 billion, and we have to do all the analysis and the alternative uses of that amount of money, and we have to bring it to the board once we have a good analysis of different scenarios of future prices and demands and volumes for this project. The project continues to be very attractive in terms of logistics, energy generation, cost, proximity to forest, to port. But we are taking our time, and we expect to continue analyzing it, and we will announce it once we have a definite decision about it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question will come from Carlos de Alba of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Gianfranco. The first question has to do with just a follow-up. What is the percentage of own wood that Montes del Plata is using now, and what is the expectation as you increase this source of material to the mill? The second question is if you can comment on the expectation, the volume expectation as a whole for Arauco. Pulp, particularly pulp and panels in 2015. And then finally, if you can elaborate a little bit more about the rationale behind converting the mill to dissolving pulp. Aren't you late on this conversion? You know, the pulp price, the dissolving pulp prices are about 50% of the peak that they reached sometime in 2012. We have seen a lot of conversions in Europe, in the U.S., even in Brazil, or at least announced conversions to dissolving pulp. And it seems that you know, the market is not as tight as it was. So if you can elaborate a little bit more about the rationale of this conversion right now, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay. First of all, the percentage of wood, own wood consumption by Monte de Plata, I don't know, have the exact number, but it's about 80 to 85%, more or less. And it will go up to almost 100% in the coming years as we have more mature forests and our young forests have grown up to harvesting age. In terms of volumes for 2015, our capacity in pulp is 3.9 million tons total for Arauco, including our 50% of Monte de Plata, and so I guess that our volumes could be a little bit less than that, since Monte de Plata will be 1.2 instead of 1.3, so let's say almost 3.9. So we're expecting full capacity and full production in our pulp mills, and also in panels we expect to have a good percentage of capacity utilization in panels. Regarding the rationale for conversion. First of all, I mean, you have to think of long-term pricing, and even with the prices that we have right now, that we have analyzed in our feasibility studies, the project is very attractive, and the reason for that is that we are, as I tried to explain before, this mill has excess capacity, so we are not losing a lot of capacity by moving from paper grade to dissolving. If we were with a capacity of 550, we will lose 35%, and so our fixed cost will go up, and we will have will not be convenient at current prices of dissolving pulp. But in this case, we go down only a little bit less than 10%, because the mill has an excess capacity in the recovery boiler, turbines, and we only have to add a couple of digesters. And also, since we are using more, 100% of this recovery boiler, we will generate 15 megawatts more. So the revenues from the energy, plus we will keep more or less the same cost of production. This, our production will not go far below, and deficiency in the use of chemicals will make this project very, very convenient, even with current prices of dissolving. So I think that the difference is that our project has an advantage that no other conversion from petrol grade to dissolving has in the world. And this is that we have a mill that is capped by an environmental impact study at less than the full capacity of the mill. I don't know if it's more clear.
No, it's very, very clear. Thank you very much for that. And the last question, if I may, what is the outlook that you have for, or what are the prospects for hardwood pricing that you see beyond the recent price increases? Clearly, Guaíba 2 will start sometime between, you know, I've heard April, as soon as April, the original guidance is June. But Guaíba is going to start in the next few months. That is also when the summer period is traditionally when you have the weakest pricing for hardwood. So how do you see hardwood prices beyond this price increase that was recently announced?
Well, I mean, as usual, when you have a project ramping up, there's a lot of people concerned about the new volume coming. But with the experience that we had last year with Montes del Plata, that started more or less in June, I will guess that the volumes from Guaíba will not reach the market until the end of the year, because they will have to have a ramp-up process of 6 months, filling their warehouses, putting into ships, and getting into the market. And so I won't expect a lot of volume coming from that mill in 2015. So I will guess that prices will hold up until probably a little bit more than at least the middle of the year. And you know that this is pressure for more virgin fiber for hardwood. So I would expect that prices will have a certain pressure for increases until we see more volume coming really and at the end of the year. And from the experience from Monte de Plata, we saw that the market absorbed very well the new volumes. And you have to think that 2014, only China increased the imports in 800,000 tons 1 year. So the market can absorb one new mill every year. The problem is when you have more than one mill, but with one mill ramping up every year, the market and the demand can absorb the new volume. So I'm not so worried about prices decreasing a lot in hardwood.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And once again, if you wish to pose a question, please press *1 on your touchtone phone. The next question will come from Felipe Gusans of MUFG. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Gianfranco. A couple of questions on my side, if I may. The first one just as a follow-up on the last question with the capacity coming online in Guaíba. Can you give us a feel for how you look at demand coming from China for the current year, particularly in light of all the headlines we've seen with regard to the decline in the rate of GDP growth for the country? And then secondly, is it fair to assume, given your focus on continued deleveraging of the balance sheet, that the April maturity will just be repaid from cash on hand despite the $180 million of investment you will make in the conversion for the mill to produce the textile paper? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Felipe. Well, I mean, China announced a growth of GDP of 7%, which is a decrease from the numbers we have seen in the past. But you have to think that the Chinese economy is much bigger than it used to be. So probably a 7% growth is similar, or probably more than 10% growth, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. That's one thing. The other thing is that most of the decrease in growth, and we have seen that in commodities, affects more construction and new roads and buildings, and that affects more copper and iron ore, things like that. The consumption of tissue, printing and writing, and this kind of paper, which drives the imports from pulp, has more to do with consumers and people raising their income per capita and moving into using more tissue per capita. And that is more long-term, and that doesn't decrease a lot with a decrease in growth related to investment. So we're not really too much scared about growth, about decreasing in demand from China. That's why we feel that demand for pulp and import from pulp should continue growing at the level we have seen. And in the second question regarding the maturity, yes, we have at this point almost $1 billion in cash, and we are planning to pay down the maturity in April, and that's why we went to the market a year before in July. And we will generate enough free cash flow this year to finance the order for maturities and CapEx program in this year. The total CapEx for the company for this year should be a little bit less than $600 million, and the $185 million from the dissolving pulp project, it's through 2 years. So we are planning to have about $80 million this year of CapEx related to the dissolving pulp project. So we expect to be able to pay down all of our debt without the need to go to the market. That doesn't mean that we could make use of the low rate scenario at some point in the year to refinance some of the maturities coming next year. But our default plan is to pay down our debt this year and continue deleveraging through this year.
Okay, thank you so much, Gianfranco, and have a good weekend.
You too.
The next question will come from Vivek Abhinav of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. Could you please shed some more color in terms of like the impact of weakening euro and its impact on the competition, general competition, given it will increase the competitiveness of the European players, and how will it impact CMPC's exports to the region?
Yes, of course, all the depreciation of currencies and the strength of the dollar in general is affecting commodity prices. And the relative competitiveness of the country depends on how much depreciated is the currency. I mean, in our case, the Chilean peso has depreciated less than the Brazilian real, for example, that today is 3.2. The euro is at 1.05 at this time. So everyone, especially Russia, so as a result, are more competitive in terms of cost in dollar terms to the market. But at the same time, the import markets for pulp are basically countries where they have seen also devaluate currencies, so the prices in local currency have gone up. So that put pressures on prices. The Chinese currency has not depreciated as the other Latin American currencies and Europeans, so that helps to maintain prices. But of course, the relative competitiveness of different producers has changed depending on the currency movements, and that is putting some dynamics in the supply of the different markets. That is my view of that.
Sure. Thanks.
The next question will come from Chelsea Konsko of TIAA CREF. Please go ahead.
Hi. Can you just tell us if you still have a committed credit facility outstanding and available to you?
Yes, we still have the committed facility. We are not haven't used it. We are renewing that credit line that is due in October. We already renewed the local part. Remember, the line was $320 million. About $80 million of those were denominated in local currency with local banks. That was renewed for 5 years, and now we are in the process of renewing the international part, which was $240 million, and we will renew it again for 5 years. So we will have very soon a new facility for 5 years of committed credit line with the same intention of keeping it for a rainy day.
Okay, great.
And once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press *1 on your touchtone phone, and we'll pause just a moment for any additional questions. And at this time, we have no additional questions, so we will conclude the question and answer session. I would like to turn the floor back to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello for any closing remarks.
Okay, again, thanks everyone for attending this call. We will meet again for the next conference call for the results of the first quarter. We expect to have them published probably during May. And as usual, if you have any doubt during this time, just don't hesitate to call us or send us an email to our investor relations team. Thank you and good morning.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time, and we wish you a nice day.